On this episode of Cox Talking Gamecocks, a weekend in review from around USC Athletics, including a massive W from the women's basketball team, and a review of the men's game as they come up just shy against an SEC opponent. All right, here we go. Welcome to episode 129 of Cox Talking Gamecocks. I am your host, Tim Cox, where I will keep every episode from 1801 to 2001. And just in case there are any new listeners out there, just a quick level set for y'all. What I meant by that is I try to keep each episode of this podcast from 18 minutes in 1 second to 20 minutes in 1 second. 1801, the founding of USC, and then 2001, A Space Odyssey. But don't get on my case too bad if I miss it by a little bit here and there. But nevertheless, I hope y'all had a great weekend out there. There was tons of sports action going on, tons of great games from around Carolina. And, you know, it did feel a little funny without any football. You know, obviously, I talk about college sports on the podcast, but, you know, NFL is great, and the playoffs are fantastic, and having that first Sunday without anything, you're just like, what the hell do I do with my hands? Like, what the hell do I do here? Like, well, I'm supposed to go out and run errands this weekend? I don't know what to do. Found myself just running errands. It's just not it. So excited to have the Super Bowl this upcoming weekend, and then we'll get rolling with a lot of more of college sports too, with baseball is around the corner, believe it or not. But I digress. So got a weekend review here from y'all, including a deep dive into both basketball programs. But before I do, let's start with scores from around other sports at USC Athletics. Starting on Friday, you had the men's tennis team sweeping Clemson, beating them 7-0 in the upstate. So right now, you got South Carolina completely owning that school and that town. And it feels so good. I mean, obviously, we know what happened in football season. The basketball team somehow beat them, and now you have men's tennis destroying them as well. And women's basketball beat them as well. So it's really just a fantastic time in the Palmetto series if you are on the Gamecocks, the good side of this rivalry. So that's exciting. And then on Saturday, you had the equestrian team unfortunately lost to Georgia 6-14. That's all right. Get them next time, and yeah. That's right, we're talking equestrian. I like to give all of the sports their shout out. Just because it might not be one of the bigger sports we all follow, they deserve their praise as student athletes for South Carolina. But now we can turn our attention to what was a very, very busy weekend and very exciting weekend from both basketball programs. Starting with Saturday, you had the men taking on the Arkansas Razorbacks at home Saturday afternoon and unfortunately taking the loss 65-63. That game came down to the wire. South Carolina had the possession with a couple of seconds left. They got the ball across half court, did seem a little disjointed, and unfortunately that last shot did not go in. But this game, was super exciting. I mean, Arkansas is on a winning streak within the SEC. They're a pretty good squad, little bit of a step back from last year, but Carolina was in this, you know, and I was impressed watching this game, and I might sound crazy, and especially with having some really bad losses in the SEC this year, I do kind of feel like there might be some baby, small baby steps of progress with this team. And I really do think that the killer of this team is just depth. There's just not a lot of depth on this squad. There's not a lot of experience on this squad. But you look at the last couple of games, and yes, there's been some blowouts in there, but the Georgia game, right? And then this game. You're seeing this team working a little bit better, right? I mean, even the game before this one, you had the offense was flowing a little bit better. You saw it coming together piece by piece, and then it just fell apart in the second half. But in this game, Carolina was close at the half, and then in the second half, really had a very fantastic surge. And Arkansas was trying to pull away, and Carolina would just hang around. And that's all they were doing. They were just sticking around, keeping it to like 8 points, 9 points. And every time Arkansas tried to get it to 10 or 11, Carolina would hit a couple of threes, get back in it. And then before you know it, you had 2 or 3 minutes left in the game, and it was basically tied. And then South Carolina ended up taking the lead late. Arkansas takes it back, and you had this finally, this game of just the chess match that you want from a basketball team, right? I mean, this is a good SEC opponent, and we just haven't had many of these games where, you know, it's a fight and you got to strategize and you got to come up clutch and at the end of it. And unfortunately, we came up just shy. There was a possession with, I don't know, about 20 seconds or so where South Carolina was looking to, you know, really get that lead at the end. And the play that was drawn up, it didn't work. It was, you know, it was, you had a sense that they were going to go to Michi Johnson, and he wasn't able to really get open. Hayden Brown got the ball down low, missed, tried to get his own rebound, and then Josh Gray ended up fouling somebody. It was just a very disjointed play. That's not what you want to see, right? You have a chance to really take the lead there, and Lamont Paris drew up a play that just didn't really work. So it's really, really tough to come up just shy in this one. And, you know, if you've been listening to me for a while, you know I am more of a positive type. I try to look at the glass half full. This stinks. But I will say that this did not seem all that possible, you know, coming after the last loss we had, right? And most of this season, it just felt like, okay, we're just going to get cooked. We don't play that well at home. Arkansas is a pretty good team. They're hot right now. You kind of know how this was going to go. And the fact that it didn't go that way is exciting to me. And I do believe there is some growth with this team. And it's just that it might not be necessarily showing in wins and losses this year just because of the way this team is built, unfortunately, this year. So coming up just shy against Arkansas, it's still a loss. It's a loss on the stat sheet. We're in last place in the SEC. But I'm going to say that watching it, the eye test was a little bit better. So some player highlights here for y'all. You had Michi Johnson, 20 points, including 5 from 8 from 3. This guy, if there was a 4-point line, he would love it. He takes his shots deep, and when they go in, it's electric. He's like Steph freaking Curry. But unfortunately, you know, sometimes they don't, and you're like, you know, you can move up a couple of feet. But he was wet from 3 this game. Huge reason why Carolina was able to battle back and really take that lead late. Also, Josh Gray. How about the emergence of Josh Gray? He went 20 points and 14 rebounds. He went from never having a double-double in his college career So now he's had two in like as many weeks. And his development is something to be excited about. Where he is this big body, strong dude, came in, had a little bit of SEC experience, and he just never really was looking comfortable. And it was always this deal where it was just like he'd give you a couple minutes, get you a couple points, and would foul out, frankly. But late in this SEC season, he has really grown into his own, where he's been getting more rebounds. He's been more active. His free throw shooting, while still leaves a little to be desired, has improved. But he's just gotten better understanding his role, I feel like. 20 points and 14 rebounds, right? In the win against Kentucky, he was very active. In these games where Carolina is close, you can kind of see the correlation between him having a nice game and the rest of the team, right? Because it brings that depth into it. And he's a true five. So you need that type of presence. And if his development is a sign of things to come from this coaching staff, then we should all be encouraged. Where it's not just you're kind of scratching your head saying, man, Josh Gray can't get it together. Well, no, he has this year. And you got to credit this coaching staff. You got to credit the young man by putting in the work. And it's showing. So that's what I'm saying, where you're starting to see little signs and little takeaways that you can say, okay, maybe this team is not good enough to get the close wins, right? Maybe this team is going to struggle the rest of the year. And we're going to say, wow, that was a really rough year. But there's little things where this team, I think, is improving. And hopefully you have some of that carryover. Some of these guys are going to stay. And you can say, well, next year, that's not a half bad combo. GG Jackson had 9 points and 7 rebounds. Obviously, not up to par with what we've seen from GG, but, you know, he was still doing his thing. I'm sure y'all saw, you know, he went on Instagram Live after the show and expressed some frustration with not getting the ball in that last play out. That really, that meant that 20-second possession that I was referencing earlier. You had him say he was, you know, just kind of frustrated with his usage. He since apologized. I don't want to dive too deep into this. I think it's sort of a non-story, but I think he's just a young college kid. He was just frustrated after a tough loss, right? Hopped on Instagram Live, was talking to some buddies there, saw some comments, got a little riled up. He was frustrated, right? He's a competitor. He wants to win. He's a winner. And this team came up just shy. So I'm not looking too deep into it. He was mature enough to apologize afterwards. And I'm going to believe him for what he said in that and appreciate it. And you move on, right? That's part of the learning process. You learn how to handle things in a more mature manner in college. I don't know about y'all, but I had some things in college that I wasn't the most mature about. And you learn from it. So that's what that was with GG Jackson. In that rant, though, I will say, kind of wagging my finger here like a detective. In that rant, though, he quickly said that he's thinking about coming back, like coming back to USC. I don't know if, again, that was just in heat of the moment. Definitely something to keep track of, because that would be electric. That would give us a lot of excitement and optimism for next year. But we'll worry about that in a few weeks when everything will be official, I guess. The men's next game is Tuesday night, 9 p.m. tip-off. Late. That's bedtime. Not really, but that's because it is at Missouri, so Central Time. Mizzou is 17-6 overall, 5-5 in the SEC. Mizzou averages 82 points per game while allowing 75. They're a pretty good shooting team. They have a high shooting percentage, rather. So defense will be at a premium for this game. Also, funny enough, South Carolina has tended to score more on the road. So, hey, we got that going for us, right? Maybe it's a shooting contest, right? Guys are a little bit more loose on the road, I guess, for whatever reason. So could be exciting to see. But Mizzou is a pretty good squad. you see them. They are projected to be in the tournament at a pretty good seed. So this should be a another challenge for the guys. But, hey, not going to back down. My crow to the game here is control the glass. So as I said a little bit earlier, in the SEC games where Carolina has looked good, you've really had strong efforts from guys in the post to win that rebound battle. And that's what's going to happen again. It's what's going to need to happen again. Mizzou's going to try to shoot. You know, if they miss, you can't let them get a second chance. So let's go, boys. Let's go, Cox. Which brings me to the women's basketball game. And Sunday afternoon, the ladies had an absolute massive game in Connecticut, defeating the fifth-ranked Huskies 81-77. And what a game this was. I mean, I talked about no football, but this will get your heart pumping even more. It was a insane environment, right? Probably about as tough as a road game as Carolina will have this year. And the team looked a little bit differently. You had, you know, Bree Beal and Zaya Cook were a little bit off this game, but South Carolina and Dawn Staley found a way to get it done. UConn is a very good team. South Carolina's defense, in the second quarter really smothered the Huskies, which really got the momentum going. And for three of the four quarters, Carolina was ahead. But at the end, you know, Connecticut was just hanging around. And then it became a free throw shooting contest. And South Carolina obviously was able to hold on some clutch free throws down the line. And then the shooting heated up late in that fourth quarter as well. And this is two elite programs, two elite coaches going at it. And what you see is a four-point win, right? Nothing too crazy. Hard fought, came down to the battle. Talk about the chess match, right? All that jazz. And this was a game where, you know, everyone who watches South Carolina women's basketball will say that it's our depth that makes us so dangerous. And anytime you watch it on TV, someone will say that, right? One of the announcers will say that. And you had that at play this game. You had a couple people in foul trouble, and you're able to rotate different folks in. Like Cardozo, she fouled out, so Dawn tapped Amy here to come in. Amy here is a veteran. She has good experience. She's great defensively, has good ball skills, did that. You also have Raven Johnson coming off the bench, and she had a fantastic game. So what you saw was a type of game where you had to grind it out. It was not coming easy for most of the time. The shots were not falling at the clip that we're used to. But with our depth, and especially with our depth in the front court, with Aaliyah Boston, Camilla Cardozo, among others, that ultimately was what propelled us for this. And this is a team you're probably going to see in March. So this is a huge litmus test to see just how good are you. And in the tournament, sometimes shots don't go your way. Crazy things happen. How do you respond? This is a great test for this team. As, you know, now we're in February, right? The tournament's right around the corner. This was a great mental test and physical test for this team. It was funny. Even Harris Pastides tweeted that even with all the great programs out there, right? Stanford, Tennessee, etc., beating UConn just feels a little extra special. And I would agree. You know, we have a fantastic program. We're national champions. But beating that team, especially in their place, just feels extra, extra special. Some player highlights from y'all here, for y'all here. Aaliyah Boston, 26 points, 11 rebounds. Camilla Cardozo, 17 points, 11 rebounds. If you remember correctly, my crow to the game for this game was that Camilla Cardozo had to have a big game. Nailed it. Absolutely nailed it. Call me the women's basketball guru. Raven Johnson also had 14 points and 7 assists. That's fantastic to see that distribution, something that has lacked at times this year, but fantastic contributions from Camilla and Raven off the bench. The next game for the ladies is Thursday night, 8 p.m. at Auburn. Auburn is 13-9 overall and just 3-7 in the SEC. My crow to the game here is our shooters need to get their groove back. Bria Beal and Zaya Cook just were off, and they were not their usual selves. They need to get going. They need to get that love and feeling back, seeing the ball go in the hoop, especially from distance. So let them shoot their way into a good night. But with that, y'all, that wraps up this episode. Please follow me on social media. Twitter is Cox Gamecocks. Instagram is just the name of the show, Cox Talking Gamecocks. And please like, subscribe, and review to the podcast. I appreciate all y'all. Go Cox.